Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Writer's Lounge, show number 59. This is November 25th, 2013. I'm your host, Tom Riedel, and once again, this is the show where we showcase new authors. And joining us tonight, my co-host, Robin Eduardo. Well, poor Robin. I just screwed up her name. Robin Eduardo will not be on, but I do have on a guest co-host, and she's been on before. Her name is Lisa Lee. I'll bring her on in just a second. A brief intro to today's show. We are going to have on again our good friend Brian D. Anderson, who wrote The Godling Chronicles, the fourth book in the series called A Trial of Souls. And you can find us over at the Writer's Lounge blog, over at tomriedel.com/blog. And over there you can read all the reviews and listen to the show in the upper left-hand corner where you will find the Blog Talk Radio player. Facebook link, of course, you can go there at Facebook, look up the Writer's Lounge, and you'll find us there. And also we're on Twitter, and you can contact us at twl@yahoo.com. That's our email address. Upcoming authors. Next time around, which would be in 2 weeks on December 9th, we're going to have on a very special program, special for me because the author is from my hometown of Nedro, New York, and he wrote My Life Before I Decided to Commit Suicide, and his name is Jim Murphy. So we're looking forward to that. Really should be an important show for him and me to reminisce about the old times there back in Nedra, New York. Also promoting Magic Pen Web Design, offers its clients a simple, effective, and affordable approach to website design development. And then fill out the free estimate form over at magicpenwebdesign.com and let Magic Pen help you to sell that next book with a website design that works its magic for you. And also, we want to let everybody know that we're doing TWL book promotions over on the Facebook page, if you'd like to get over there. And we're reading the first promotion would be Blood Rain, Came and Read Tonight, by Cheryl Daniels. Nia Timmons was alone in the world, or so she thought. Her need for love led her carelessly into the arms of an abusive man. Now on the run from him, she stumbles into a family who isn't what they seem. She soon discovers that neither is she. What she does find to be true is that she's drawn to Rain, a man who once held contempt for. Now it's unbridled passion and love. And once again, that book is called Blood Rain by Cheryl Daniels. The next book on our list, Christmas Terror Tales, Stories to Enjoy from October through December, was written by Kevin Folliard. And that book description goes as this: Christmas Terror Tales, Stories to Enjoy from October through December, 16 gripping tales inspired by classical horror and urban legends, twist holiday themes into chilling cautionary tales. A mischievous snowman frames the children who built him for its misdeeds. A haughty priest offers shelter to a hideous monster posing as an orphan. A father brings home a cursed Christmas tree, resulting in a terrifying, haunting experience for his family. From October through December, these stories of devils, spirits, murderers, monsters, and surprise twists will fascinate children and their parents. Christmas Terror Tales, Stories to Enjoy from October through December by Kevin Folliard. Next is The Storm's Deliverance by Larry Higdon. A man called Bad News Johnson seeks atonement for a life of heavy drinking and violence. In his quest to reunite with his ex-wife and her daughter, he encounters possible time travel, possible ghosts, and storms, both real and metaphysical. Larry Higdon has, in addition to his writing, worked as an elementary school counselor. He is a registered play therapist and a lawyer. This is his first novel. His second novel, The School from Hell, should be available soon. The Storms of Deliverance by Larry Higdon. Next, we're going to play an audio clip from our guest author tonight, Brian Anderson. And after that, we'll be right back to talk with Lisa and later on, Brian.
Hi, this is Brian D. Anderson, author of The Goblin Chronicles, and I have an exciting opportunity for fans of the series. From now until New Year's Eve, I'll be accepting submissions for fan fiction short stories based on The Goblin Chronicles. They need to be between 1,000 and 25,000 words and be in some way about The Goblin Chronicles world or characters. Now that you know the rules, let's make with the excitement. Third prize is a signed copy of all four Goblin Chronicles books. Second prize, your short story will be professionally edited and published on Amazon.com. The grand prize, your short story will be edited and published, but you also win a contract to have a novel written by you and published under the GMTA label. That's right. If you win, you become a published author. Contract will include editing, proofing, and cover art. And if you haven't written your novel yet, don't worry. The contract's open-ended, so it will be there when you're ready. All submissions should be sent by midnight, January 1st, 2014, to thegoblinchronicles@gmail.com. And the winner will be announced February 3rd right here on this show. Good luck, and I'm looking forward to reading your stories.
Okay, there was Brian D. Anderson, author of The Goblin Chronicles. And one thing before we bring on our guest co-host, you can call us today at 626-213-5613 or toll-free at 877-878-1436. And now back with us is the effervescent, although a little bit under the weather today, Lisa Lee.
Hello, darling.
How are you?
Oh, couldn't be better.
Yes, you could.
Except for I'm sick.
You're sick, but you'll get through the show.
But don't I have like that sexy voice going on now?
Not like your co-host Teresa.
Oh, I know she rocks the sexy.
When she gets cold, when she has a cold, she has this really deep, manly voice.
Yeah.
Yours is still kind of high pitched.
I'm trying.
You're still feminine.
Damn it.
So what's been going on with you? I know you're a busy lady.
Very busy. Finished my radio show, Cityspell. Raced into New York.
Okay. You're double demanded tonight.
Yes, double demanded. And my show has gotten picked up for 2 nights now.
Yes.
And we've gained a lot more listeners.
So where are we to find you?
If you go to cityspell.net, that's our website. We've also got a Facebook page. Obviously, it's Facebook/Cityspell Show. If you want to listen, you just go to jackalope105fm.com.
Okay.
And click listen.
And cool, that's easy enough.
Yep, we play tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and Wednesday 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
And you talk about witchy stuff and fun stuff.
All kinds of witchy stuff.
And lots of humor, too.
Lots and lots of giggles.
Right, lots of giggles.
Yeah.
And we have another co-host here at the door, and her name is...
Princess Squeaky Bear.
Yeah. Right now she's crying. So if everybody can hear the cat there, we're not abusing them. We're housing Squeaky Bear for the time being.
And she doesn't want to leave my side.
Yeah, she's patiently walking and pacing around outside the studio door here. So anyway, we're entering the time in Minnesota where everybody sort of hunkers down and gets next to a fire or picks up a book to read. And I'm not really looking forward to it this year.
Nope, I'm already over it, and it's not even December.
I'm looking for spring already.
Me too. Well, I'm still bitter over last year. I mean, May.
Yeah, I know. In May, up at camp, up at Lake Mille Lacs, where everybody out there doesn't know where I'm from, it's this big, huge lake in Minnesota. And in the middle of May, during the fishing opener, we had huge ice dams breaking loose on the lake and pushing to the shore, demolishing some of the homes and cabins up there. So that was May. Here we are in November. What's that? I'm not good with math.
We just don't do that.
Is it like 6 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then here we are back in the winter again. So it's getting kind of old. So I'd really like to have a nice mild winter this year with little amount of snow. And I do know that next week, and I know we have a listener here that's listening right now as we speak from Jim Murphy's hometown of Nedro, New York, and they're getting belted with snow now. So maybe we can entice our listeners from back there to call into the show tonight. I know one of them is also a fan of Brian's, and once again, we're going to be bringing Brian on here really shortly. We're probably going to bring him on sooner than normal because I have a lot of promotions to do at the end of the show, and I want to make sure that we cover that. And I also want to let everybody know that I really appreciate all the support that you're giving to the Writers Lounge. We are increasing in numbers. Our listening numbers have gone up from 2,000 in the last couple months to close to 3,000 now after 2 weeks. So
nicely done.
We're moving up the scale here, and we do have a very important announcement to make near the end of the show, and I'm going to let Brian talk about that. This is something that most of you that are listening either live or if you're into the archives and listening, you're going to want to hear this because this is going to be big for not just the Writer's Lounge, but it's also going to be big for a lot of you indie authors out there and readers of indie authors. So we can't wait for Brian to drop the news on us, and he's patiently waiting to do that. I know he's a big part of the announcement, so we'll wait and see what he has to say. I already know. Nobody else does. Not even Lisa.
I was going to say, what?
Not even Lisa knows. So, yes, so that's what's going to be. So let's get on with the main event. And as soon as I find the right page here, we'll get to it, and then we'll bring on Brian. But Brian, and I'm still on the wrong page. Brian, as everybody knows, wrote the Godling Chronicles, and this one is book four. It's called A Trial of Souls. It was written by Brian D. Anderson, published by Mathos Press in 2013, and you may purchase it at Amazon.com/Kindle. You can visit the author over at briananderson.blogspot.com. This is the fourth book in the series, so I won't explain much that has happened in the last three books, only to say that, as I said in a past review, this reviewer predicts that people will be lining up at their favorite bookseller in large numbers to see what happens to this highly likable bunch of characters. Yui and his gang have not disappointed, and my prediction still stands. With a staggering number of fans keeping the author busy at the keyboard, Brian D. Anderson has carved out another work of art with his latest installment. With the battle of war surging all around him and his responsibilities to keep his people and loved ones safe, Louis finds himself maturing, but he is also being forced to accept the fact that he is becoming much more than a human. It's his destiny to be a god, but will his drastic change cause a split between his friends and Kalia, the elf woman that he deeply loves with all his heart and soul? The battles that Gui and his friends face will be pivotal in his goal to defeat the Dark Knight. The author remains in top form in this one, and we, the readers, will be awaiting very patiently for book five to see what happens next. If you haven't already, I very highly recommend that you go out and buy the first three books in the Godling Chronicles series before you read this one. It's a collection that you will be proud to have. And with that, very proudly, we bring on once again to the Writer's Lounge. And this guy has probably been on more times than any author has ever been on. And are you snoring there, Brian?
I am not snoring.
Well, it sounded like you were snoring. So I was a little bit offended by that. But welcome, my friend, back to the Writer's Lounge.
I would never snore before a positive review of my book.
Okay. Yeah, it sounded like a whistling snore, like Rip Van Winkle, or in your case, Rip Van Anderson.
I think there's a problem with your phone.
Yeah, it might be, or the computer here or something. But anyways, I'd like to I'd like to welcome you, and we have co-host Lisa Lee here. I don't think she's ever had the pleasure.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I am excited about this interview. I've heard Tom tell me so many amazing things about your book, so I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Well, I thank Tom, and I thank you for coming out of your sick bed to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, she'll be fine, and she's going to go now and try to remove our furry guest here from the window because she wants to come in and be a part of the show, as everybody does when you're on, Brian. But anyway, my friend, you have been doing exceptionally well in your writing, and you have a lot of things that are going on right now, and I did mention in the good here that we do have an announcement, and we're going to wait until the end of the show to make that announcement. It's sort of a teaser here, if you will. And so what have you been
doing? Well, it's a teaser for me and for this show also.
Yes.
I think it's going to be something, when we do announce it, it's going to be very exciting for everybody.
Yeah, and aside from that, let's get back to this new installment of Trial of Souls. I know you're not too keen on reading your excerpt, but can you tell us a little bit about it?
I'll read one if you'd like.
Oh, well, that's okay. Go ahead.
I'll read part of the prologue.
Okay.
Wheeler crept silently atop the dune. Keeping as low as possible, she peered over the vast expanse of the Sufi's camp. The blood from the century had sprayed everywhere, and the sand was now sticking in ugly, irritating clumps all over her arms and clothes. She wiped the bloody grime from her forearm in disgust, at the same time silently cursing herself for her carelessness. The man had turned around just as she was about to slit his throat. She could count herself very fortunate indeed that she'd been able to silence him before he could raise the alarm. The sound of obscene songs and gruesome laughter drifted up from the camp, fueling her hatred for the slavers to even greater heights. A grim little smile formed as she took careful note of their positions and numbers. When the dawn came, they would be silenced forever, and the sands would be rid of the Sufi's plague once and for all. Though repulsed, she continued to watch for another 2 hours as the merrymaking rose to a fever pitch. During that time, 6 slaves were killed by their drunken masters, and a dozen fights erupted, 3 of which ended in death. "Animals," she muttered, sliding back down the side of the dune and retrieving her bow. She returned to the body of the sentry and buried it in the sand. The 2 other sandmasters who had accompanied her on this mission were planning to scout the area west that led to the flat, hard sands of the Crystal Plains, then rendezvous with her 5 miles north of the Sufi's encampment. The route across the Crystal Plains would enable the Sufi's army to reach Dantori in less than 2 weeks. If that happened, the people there would be certainly slaughtered. They would never expect such vast numbers to march on them from the deep desert. In their minds, civilization ended beyond their own doorsteps. The Sufis, nomadic human tribes, and especially the elves of the deep desert, were nothing but rumors and myths to all but a very few of Dantori's citizens. And even if they had even if they did know what was coming, there would still be no hope of stopping the onslaught. An army of this size would be able to destroy their towns in hours, killing any who resisted, and enslaving those who did not. Bands of elves had been gathering for weeks at the waters of Sajir. 20,000 were already there, and another 30,000 were expected to arrive once word reached the southeastern tribes. More than enough to defeat the Sufis. And once these long-standing enemies had been dealt with, the march from their beloved home would begin. Darshan had come, and a new beginning was on the horizon.
All right. For people that may not know, Darshan would be who?
Gooey.
Okay. And Darshan?
The main character.
Okay.
Darshan is the name, his god name, that the main character's name that his god, actual god, as an a god father gave him, that he only learned in book three.
Mm-hmm. So as we said, he's evolving into something that he's not so sure he's able to handle, and everybody else is a little anxious about it too, huh?
Well, you know, the thing is, when the book starts, he's not quite reached the age of maturity. He's 17 years old. And by this point, he's turned 18. And it's what I've tried to do is sort of like, you know, I mean, we're all forged by our experiences, but we're also forged by our level of maturity. And, you know, I've tried to create a balance with this character that, you know, yeah, he's still young, and yes, he's still, I try to add those boyish qualities in him, even at this stage in the story. But yet, you know, I mean, he's been through so much in such a short time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Elisa, you got?
Yeah. You have so many characters in your books, especially through the fourth and fifth. How do you keep track of them all?
Well, it's not easy. It's actually really, really not easy. I'm not a writer who outlines their stories. You know, there's some people do that. You know, I mean, but I'm more of a kind of a seat of the pants kind of guy. So I sort of do a lot of things after the fact. And I almost have to keep a lot of it in my head, which means a lot of times I have to go back. I have to really, really know the story I've written very, very well.
No, that's surprising. I mean, we've had many discussions about your writing, Brian, but I never remembered you telling me that you kept it in your head. That's crazy. But especially when you're working with characters, and I know we've discussed this, and you've called me up sometimes even before a book has been published and told me, you know who I'm going to kill off? So I get a kick out of that, but... how do you decide, what's the process that you go through during that time when you decide you're going to kill somebody off? Does it, I mean, obviously, your fans are out there. So what
torture.
Do you do?
It's torture, Tom. It's torture. Oh, my God. You know, I mean, I really put a lot into these characters. You know, I mean, I try to give them their own unique little lives and unique little this. And you, I don't even like killing villains. You know, it's hard, but what happens really is, oh, great example. During this, during book five, there was a scene where I knew a character was going to die. And there was no way out of it. There was just, and I didn't intend for this character to die. And the story sort of went there, and I'm like, And my writing came to a grinding halt, and I'm like, I'm sitting there trying to think of ways to save this character. How do I save this character? And there was just no way to do it. Character had to die.
Yeah. And you say that with a grin on your face.
Well, you know, I wasn't at the time because I really liked the character.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
I can look back on it
now and like that with humor, but at the time I really cared about it because, you know, I put a lot into these characters. They're to me, they're people, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody knows that.
Not in any kind of like sick, twisted way, but you know, I mean, they're people to me. You know, I mean, I put a lot of what I do into who they are, and to discard them is not easy.
Yeah, that's amazing. You're keeping all that stuff in your head. Especially with your late night writing.
I let Patrick Rothfuss do the same thing, which sort of makes me feel better. I actually wrote him not too long ago, a few months back, asking for advice on how to do this, you know, because I'm a seat of the pants kind of writer. I know the general direction where it's going to go. And he was like, man, there's just no way to, there's no easy way, you know, because I had seen an interview with Patrick Rothfuss and Brandon Sanderson, where Brandon Sanderson outlines all his stories. Patrick Rothfuss sits down and writes and sort of lets it happen, which is why I wrote Mr. Rothfuss. And he wrote me back, and he was like, man, there's no trick to it. You know, I was hoping maybe he'd found some trick to it, you know, but he was like, you just got to go through the rewrites and the going back and making sure you got everything connected.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody, once again, we're talking to Brian D. Anderson, the author of the Guideline Chronicles. This is book 4, A Trial of Souls. If you'd like to give us a call here at the Blog Talk radio station at the Writer's Lounge, 626-213-5613 or 877-878-1436. And I know there's people out there that are listening, and give us a call because we like your questions and comments too.
Oh,
and Brian,
I love questions.
Yeah, and I've looked at some of your reviews, and I read a few who have said that they get very impatient waiting for the next book to come out. And they have said that they think you are stretching the story because of its popularity and that you might be afraid of ending it. Is there any truth to that?
No. I'm excited to end it.
I have to say this, too, because we brought this up before in the past and past shows, but R.K. Rowling, who wrote Harry Potter, probably went through the same kind of anxiety when she was getting near the end of her book. What was she going to do after Harry Potter? And not that you're at her caliber yet, but...
yeah, but J.K. Rowling was thinking about that on her yacht.
Yeah. yeah.
I'm sorry.
And you're where?
I'm excited to end the Guiding Chronicles. I'm not afraid.
You're not in the yacht, but you're in a canoe somewhere down in Florida, right?
Yeah. Look, I've had these same questions where, like, you know, I mean, the same thing. Are you stretching the story out? Man, why are the books 100,000 words? Are they almost all right around, give or take a few thousand, one way or the other, 100,000 words? No, there's a reason for that. when you're an indie writer, as I am, and you have print copies as well, when you produce print copies, you have to, it costs X amount to print the copies to get them to the readers. And now, once you get to a certain word count, the print copies become prohibitively expensive. I mean, I'm sorry, but you would if I did a 600-page novel, the paperback would cost $40. And who would buy that?
Yeah,
who would
I know.
Want, I mean, and unless the meaning of life is contained within those pages, nobody wants that. So originally I had intended for the Goblin Chronicles to be a trilogy. But the trilogy would have been so long per chapter, it would have been almost like a Lord of the Rings type, you know, thing, that it would have been unreasonably expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So, per advice from other indie authors, I broke it up into 6 pieces. And that's kind of the real reason behind the length of each book.
How's your son handling all the success of something that he also helped create?
He's handling it as a fifth grader would. He, honestly, he loves that his idea, his original idea, has done all this, but he's 10 years old. He's doing things that 10-year-olds do. To him, I'm just daddy. You know, I'm not, you know, I mean, I'm nothing
Aww.
Special. Other than, well, aside from me.
But you are
daddy.
Special. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he thinks it's great and all, but beyond that, you know. As a matter of fact, the next series that I'm writing also came from an original idea of his. So.
Yeah, I find it interesting that when he goes to bed, you're just starting.
Yeah. It's funny. I did that in New York because there was so much going on, but I do that here too, just because I think better at night. It's kind of. I've always been a night person anyway, because I was a professional musician, I guess, for so many years, and it is just sort of, I'm more at peace late at night.
I understand completely.
Yeah.
But, you know what? What I would really like to achieve with all this, though, with this entire series, is if I could say anything about the whole entire series, it would be that if you start something, if you have a great story, if the story is good, and you have a great idea, and you're able to tell that story, there's no limits to what could happen. There's so many authors out there that just sort of like, well, I can't write. I mean, they're not even authors. They're just storytellers. Oh, I can tell you a story, but I can't write it. You know what? The Goblin Chronicles, Book 1, The Sword of Truth, was my first novel I ever published.
Yeah,
there's not a lesson to be taken away from that, I don't know.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of the indie authors, and we'll be talking about that in coming shows, but a lot of the indie authors are out there are very frustrated with the slow progress of where the book goes after they've done writing it and put it into the publishing hands. And you have had sort of you're sort of the exception to the rule there, Brian.
I don't think so. What I think the problem is the perception of what happens once you're published. You know, that there's this automatic, you know, okay, I'm published, therefore I should be doing better. Look, there's a lot of authors that should publish, and there's a lot of authors that there's no reason for them to try to get published. Being published does not necessarily mean your book's going to sell. What's going to sell you is the work you put behind it. I mean, just having a publisher's, you know, brand on your book is not going to sell books. It's going to be really still up to the author. If it wasn't, then guys like Brandon Sanderson, guys like women like E.L. James, you know, all these, they wouldn't bother with book tours. You know, I mean, they're still selling their books. And they're who they are. If you're actually beginning, you got to do 10 times that. And you got to do it yourself.
Do you have any marketing tips for the new writers out there?
I wish I did. Other than marketing is important, but not as important as consistency. You know, find ways to, you know, Tom had a lady on, a very, very talented writer, P.S. Bartlett. You remember her, right? Right, Tom?
Yes, absolutely.
P.S. Bartlett held a book signing in her backyard after putting up flyers all over her town. She sold out. Ended up with 30-some-odd reviews. It was a success.
I love that story.
To me, that's just amazing. You know, that she thought to do that.
There's a tip right there. You know, if anybody that's out there has published a book, go ahead, set up your little tent in your backyard, and you got neighbors. Get it out there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, there's no bad ideas. It's just how hard are you willing to work? And even then, though, I saw a video interview with Terry Brooks, very, very prolific and wonderful fantasy writer. And one of the questions was, how do you become a successful author? And he didn't actually answer the question directly. What he referred back to this one lady who had made a top 100 list of what you need. Number 51 was talent. Number 2 was perseverance. And number 1 was luck.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's really all it is. You can have a wonderful story. And, you know, if you get a, if you just keep pushing at it, get a little bit of luck, it'll happen, you know. But, you know, I mean, there's some things I really don't want to say about the indie publishing world that I don't agree with, but I think a lot of people think it's just they write their book and they put it out there and it's just supposed to happen and people will flock to it because it's a good book. You don't know if it's a good book if people aren't reading it.
Yeah. Well, you've certainly been around for a long time doing this in the last couple of years, and you certainly know your way around. Do you foresee anything, any large changes coming in the next 5 to 10 years as far as the...
No, man. You know, I mean, I think the biggest change you're going to see is the availability of books and where they're available. Amazon is the biggest game in town, but
if history
tells us anything, they won't always be.
Are we going to lose the paperback and the paper and wonderful binding?
No, we'll never. We won't. As long as there's people who love holding a book, that'll always be there. And it's just not going to go away. It's not going to be as, it's never going to be as big as it once was. You know, I mean, it's just not. I mean, technology moves forward. Libraries suffer because of the internet. That doesn't mean that there's no libraries, you know. And that doesn't also mean that they don't serve a purpose. It just means they come somewhere different. Big bookstores like Barnes & Noble, who are still, hey, you know what, they may have sold off 30% of the stores, but they didn't go bankrupt, you know. They're still, and hey, from an indie author right here, I would love my books to be in Barnes.
They learn to evolve.
They evolve, exactly. And I don't think print will ever go out of style, not completely. I mean, the advantage you have with a Kindle or a Nook or whatever your chosen device is that you can take 50 books with you all at once, and the books tend to be less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
As opposed to print copies.
Yeah,
but I don't see that. I don't see print ever going away.
Brian, let's get back to GUI and the gang a little bit here. What's going on with them? What's going to happen with them in book 5 and 6? You got any hints for us?
Well, you know what? I'm just finishing up book 5, and GUI is going through a lot of stuff. If you've read book 4, you know that Kelia is expecting.
Yeah, and not my baby either.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know what, I think you really have a hard time with that.
I wanted Brian to write that into the story, but I didn't see it in there, and I was very disappointed.
Your baby. Yes, I know. But, you know, I bring in a new villain in book 5, something that is as powerful as the Dark Knight or the Reborn King or whatever you want to call him into book 5. There is a lot of new things going on, a lot of new things about Felsifel and the Oracle of Manasalia, who we all know is named Basanti, and her relationship to Yanti, who is one of the villains. I want to tell you, you know, there as of December 20th, book 1 is available as an audiobook.
I'm sorry, you're not able to promote here on the program. It's done in the promotion on TWL. So,
Are you telling me I can't tell people that? Oh my God!
He knows I'm kidding. You know, I have to laugh. I'm looking at Lisa while you're talking about the story, and I just find it really amazing that Lisa, he keeps all this in his head.
I don't know how he could do that.
Along with a lot of other great companies called Podium Publishing. They want to do the entire series in audio. They've already put the first four books up for pre-sale on Amazon through their Audible program. Book one is going to be available, I think, December 20th, and the rest of them through the month of January. Now, book one's actually already on the hot new releases on Audible. There's this great English actor who's doing the narration. I'm so excited to hear. I haven't heard what it sounds like yet, but I'm very excited to hear it.
Yeah, bring in the Brits. Gag.
Well, there's nobody who's fantasy like the Brits.
Inside joke. For some of our listeners. So, you don't even know about that, Brian, so I won't even bring that to you. But we know that you've spent a lot of your time writing, and we know that you're a very interesting guy. What I'd like to know is, when you're not writing, what do you do in your spare time? Remember, this is a family show. And
what I do when I'm not writing?
When you're not writing. You used to be a musician.
I breed and fight pit bulls.
You do not.
No, I'm just kidding. I was really sad to see Michael Vick go to jail. No,
What do I do
when I'm not writing? You know, I spend time with my family, man. I do whatever people do. I don't really lead, you know, a real exciting life, man. I mean, now that I'm here in Milton, Florida, I got a beautiful home here, and my family. Being at home is just enough for me. I don't really have to go triple life fantastic to make myself happy anymore.
So, when you were in the music business, what did you do? Were you a singer? What did you do?
I was a keyboard player and a bass player and a singer and whatever the hell they needed me to do at the time. I took 10 years of classical piano. When I moved to New York, I used to teach modern keyboarding in Manhattan. The thing about being a musician, writers want to talk about how hard it is to make a living as a writer. Oh, my God, they have no idea. I mean, once you write something, it's written, and you can be judged on that, you're judged every time you pick up your instrument. You know, it's a constant state of how good are you.
Yeah.
I still love it, but...
Can you still sing?
My God, I got friends like Jacob Button who sang for Stephen Adler, and he writes songs for Kelly Clarkson. Guys like that who like just have just done so well with music, and I look at them and I'm just in awe.
Can you still sing?
Oh, Jacob Button. Oh my God! Yeah, if you don't know who this guy is, you should look him up. He is.
No, I said,
else.
Can you still sing?
Oh, of course I can.
Oh, okay. You want to sing us before we leave? You want to sing like
I would kill you.
A Christmas carol or something?
I do not.
All right.
I actually do not want to do that. So.
All right. Well, I thought I'd offer it to you because you never know. You could your career could take another turn here. You know.
Oh well, I've sang on cruise ships, casinos, and everywhere else. If it didn't happen then, it's not going to happen now, man.
All right.
Are we ready for the announcement? Oh, are we ready for that?
No, not yet. We're still teasing everybody with the announcement at the end of the show. But
oh my God, it's going to be such an awesome show, man! I can't wait to.
Yeah. Oh, hey! You're giving a little bit of the secret away. Let's just kind of hold your hat here, okay?
My apologies.
You always scold your guests.
I do. I scold Brian all the time. He calls me up at 2:30 in the morning and scolds me sometimes. But, Brian, getting back to where you're at right now, you're in Florida, and I'm fairly certain that we can now call you a full-time writer. For anyone out there who might be close to hanging up to the old 9-to-5 job, do you have any advice for those people out there that are up and coming?
Believe in your work. That's all I can tell you to do. Just believe in it. You know, if nobody else believes in it and you believe in it, keep believing in it. You know, I'm not saying don't listen to criticism, but if this is what you want, go out and get it. See to it that it happens, because it's not going to happen to you. You got to make it happen. You know, believe in your work, write the work, promote the work, believe in the work, and then make it happen. You know, there's so many people out there who think that they're going to write the great American novel, and they write, and then they do something like publish it on Amazon or whatever, and then they sit back, and they don't understand why they're not rich and famous.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the work you put into writing it, you still got more work to do. You got to believe in it and make other people believe in it. If, you know, I mean, look at any kind of thing that's ever been successful. It didn't just happen. People made it happen. Believe in it enough to take the plunge and make it happen. And once you do that, and once you're really committed, then you have a chance.
Very good advice, Lisa. Do you have any?
For writing?
No, you have any questions or comments?
Like writing advice? No. Where can our listeners find you on the web?
Oh, you can find me at briandanderson.com. Blogspot, Brian D. Anderson, Facebook, The Goblin Chronicles. I'm pretty easy to find all over Amazon. Right now, probably briandanderson.com, if you want to contact me personally, is the best way to do it. You can go and contact me, and it'll shoot me emails. Those are emails that don't go into the spam folder. So, that's the best way to contact me. Actually, I'm working with Tom and Magic Pen Web Design. We're going to reimagine the website. Tom did a wonderful job on the initial website when I first got going. Now we're going to kind of take it to that next level, right, Tom?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
If you want to see what Magic Pen is all about, check out my website in about 2 or 3 months. You can check it out now. That was like just me giving him a rough draft. He does such a fantastic job. But check it out again in 3 months. Oh, my God, it's going to be amazing.
Cool. Hey, Brian, we're going to make that announcement shortly. I do have one last question to ask you here. After the last word is written in the Goblin Chronicles, how do you plan on keeping that series alive so it doesn't die out, which I'm sure it won't?
I don't know, man. You know, I've thought a lot about that. By the time book 6 is written, I'm going to have book 1 written of my the next series. I'm not sure I'm going to return to the Goblin Chronicles for a little bit. I'm going to let it, you know, I mean, I don't think I need to keep it alive. I think once it's a complete series, it's something people can enjoy as a complete series, you know. It's not going to, you know, I mean, it's not going to be like it is now where, like, people are just waiting for me to write the next book in the Goblin Chronicles series. But, you know, I want to return to it one day because there's some more stories I'd like to tell in it. But I don't think once the last book's written, I'm going to move on to the next, you know, to the next thing.
It would make an epic motion picture.
Yes, I agree. In fact, I, one of my reviews, I wrote that. It would.
Well, I'm open to the idea.
Yeah, sucks, right? Okay.
You know, honestly, guys, if I have a wonderful fan base, I have enough people out there that enjoy my work to where if I never achieved any more than I have right now, I would have a wonderful career and be very contented.
Yes, you would. Okay, Brian, this is the time we've been waiting for here. There's the drum roll. Lisa and I both cued on that at the same time, which I thought was pretty amazing. Okay, why don't you go ahead and make the announcement, because since you're a big part of it, go ahead and hopefully our
listeners. I got with you, Tom, and I think we agreed that we need to do a show that's really about indie and transitioning from indie and indie from different points of view. And, you know, I sell a lot of books, and I wanted to bring some other indies in on an interview about that. And who I got was a guy named Hugh Howey, the author of Wool, and Michael Sullivan, who is one of the best-selling fantasy writers in the world right now.
Okay, so these folks, Brian, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but these folks are not your regular you know, no-name authors to the people out there that follow
fantasy. Oh, these aren't your typical authors. Well, Michael Sullivan has written one of the classic series of all times, and he's one of the biggest fantasy authors out there. Hugh Howey, he's one of the biggest indies since E.L. James. He's right now, the guy is on a European tour, and it's going to be me and those two guys. We're going to be talking about our experience with indie authorship. Hugh Howey, he still has control of his e-books. His deal that he just signed is all about his paperbacks and hardcovers. You got Michael Sullivan, who started out as a self-published author, and now is one of the best-selling fantasy authors with a traditional publisher in not just the country but the world.
Yep. So anyway,
so it's going to be an exciting show. We're going to have all three of our perspectives on the indie world and what it means.
Yeah, and these are big name authors. It'll be on the show on March 31st. So mark your calendars. And I know that there's a lot of fans out there that will be looking forward to listening to all three of you guys talk about indie publishing. I'll be on the show, but Brian, I'm going to kind of let you run it, I think. I'll be there asking questions, but this is going to be a pleasure listening to you three talk about indie authors and the books that you write. But Brian, I have to say goodbye to you, and we'll be talking to you soon, my friend. And thank you again for another wonderful interview on The Writer's Lounge.
Hey, it's always a pleasure being on, Tom, and you know I'll be here anytime. Anytime you'll have me, I'll be right here.
Yeah. Call me at 2 a.m. We'll talk.
Hey, I'll be right there.
Okay, buddy, so see you later. Okay, Lisa, another show ends in The Writer's Lounge, and before we go, I'm going to promote some more books here. Spirit Seeker by Jamie Hayden. Book description is, life is strange and difficult for granddaughter of a shaman. 16-year-old Talisha San Diego was born in the desert beneath the full moon in January, the wolf moon. However, she left the desert with her mother when she was a young girl. She remembers bits and pieces of her past, but it isn't until she and her mom moved to the remote barrier island off the coast of North Carolina that she feels fate has finally called. Secretive, mysterious, he stands alone on the edge of the bank. Her friends tell her to stay away. She hears rumors that he is dangerous. Still, she can't resist. Whether Talisa realizes it or not, she knows a thing or two about boys like Jag Chavez. Fate is funny that way. For the first time in her life, Talisa meets kids just like her, Native Americans who know the ways of the spirit. The closer she gets to Jag, the more she realizes he is hiding a dark secret. He may have the markings of the Thunderbird, but he is named for the powerful Jaguar. Together, they embark on a journey that will haunt her forever, and that's Spirit Seeker by Jamie Hayden. Next book is Typewriter from Hell by Diane Cox. Book description, a dumpy librarian and a jaded literary agent are brought together by their mutual need for quick cash. Little do they know that the old black Corona is writing their story. Ah, there it was, another manila envelope like the one he had received 2 weeks ago just before leaving town. Was this manuscript going to be his get-out-of-jail card? He didn't know what had made him read the unsolicited particle. God knows, years ago, he had made a steadfast rule not to accept them. Maybe it was the musky perfume that had infused the envelope, making him wonder about the author, the actress who sent it, because she had to be an actress. She couldn't have written the anecdotes about Hollywood, about famous screen stars, agents, producers, unless she was an actress. Mentally, she flipped through the page images that the writing brought to mind, Rita Hayworth, Ava Gardner, Hedy Lamarr. It couldn't be any of them. They were all dead. She was definitely a glamour queen, and her autobiography would be a blockbuster. Who was she? That's Typewriter from Hell by Diane Cox. And the next one is The Bleeding by Max E. Stone. Book description, how does a maximum security inmate commit a murder on the outside? The answer is more terrifying than you think. Mark my words, Derek Warren is smooth, charming, and a master manipulator. But is he a killer? I swear, if so, how is the former businessman committed to committing murder from a maximum security prison cell? And what, if anything, does he have planned next? You'll never see it coming. Detective Stephen Bennett is sure he has the answers to these questions. But the path of deadly bodies leads him to a truth far more disturbing than he suspected. You will bleed. The Bleeding by Max E. Stone. And the last review here, last promotion, Soul Awareness, A Spiritual Awakening to Self-Knowledge and Healing by Carol Murto. Book description, Soul Awareness, A Spiritual Awakening to Self-Knowledge and Healing is a spiritual self-help book designed to bring a fresh awareness of what our soul is and to serve as a guide to help heal at the deepest level, the soul level. With clear practical instruction and fascinating case histories from Carol's 16 years as a healing practitioner, Soul Awareness will provide spiritual direction and support through the text itself. True life stories of personal soul healing and meditations. Soul Awareness offers tools that are appropriate for the beginner who is exploring the process of their inner spirituality and the function of the soul, as well as individuals who may have been exploring their soul connection and spirituality for a lifetime. The direction provided in this book can lead the individual to heal on all levels, the spiritual, physical, and psychological. Once healed, each individual life is open to new possibilities, including finding one's life purpose. That Soul Awareness, A Spiritual Awakening, the Self-Knowledge and Healing by Carol Murto. And Lisa, that's it. I can take a breath here from all that. So, breathe. And so, thank you once again for being here.
I always love coming on your show. You always have such interesting people on, and I learn so much.
Yes.
I love it.
Now you can take some NyQuil and go back to bed.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, folks, that's it. And join us next time, a very special show on December 9th. Once again, from my hometown, Nedro, New York, author Jim Murphy, and he wrote My Life Before I Decided to Commit Suicide. And don't be fooled, folks, the title is not what the book's all about. It's a little bit about that, but it's very funny, so funny that I fell out of my chair. So stay tuned for that. And with that, this is the Writer's Lounge, and we say keep writing and keep reading. See you next time. Thank you.
darkest night, in the middle of the day, your faith and your fences have been blown away. You're down in the cellar and you've locked yourself in. Ah, but it looks like it's rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. One beautiful morn, he said, Noah, get ready, for the sky will be torn. Build as I tell you, save what you can. Then wait while the rainbow weather begins. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. Trouble will come, but trouble will go. You're living in fear, but what do you know? You know that the sun's always coming then. You know there'll be rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds will part and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind, and it looks like it's rainbow weather. Yeah, it looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart.